All right, let's take our Bibles and 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There is so much I could say about my friendship with your pastor and with Mrs. Almanza as well. We served together on staff at the same church for several years and started our families right around the same time and just enjoyed wonderful fellowship until they left and came out in another direction. And the Lord has been good to us. The Lord's been good to them. And it's a joy to see what the Lord is doing here. It's a joy to of course, fellowship with the Almanzas and to go to Shady Maple. And now I can join those in the scripture who fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I think I can do it now. But just to see what the Lord's done here is a joy to my heart. And don't you ever get over God taking a work and just turning it around for his glory. And that's big stuff. And what you've done to the building, just the way it's been beautified and to see that full parking lot, see what the Lord is doing here. Praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And I won't go through my whole story, but I started riding a Sunday school bus when I was 11 and got saved. My wife started riding a Sunday school bus and as a teenager, and she got saved, and God brought her from California and me from Chicago together, two Sunday school bus kids, and then sent us back to Chicago to plant a church. And we're going to celebrate 15 years at Cornerstone Baptist Church.
I'm going to interrupt the preacher for a second.
Sure.
You have a bad mic on.
I've got a bad mic. He's going to give me a good mic. And so now we're going to celebrate our 15th anniversary in June at Cornerstone Baptist Church. And is that a good mic? All right. And I want to thank several of you who prayed for us during a very critical time in our ministry. We appreciate that. And I also want to thank Pastor Knox for that message. What a tremendous message. And I have never seen that much out of the first three chapters of Genesis. And I was sitting there taking a bunch of notes, and I'm going to take that back home to my family. Might borrow some of those points for a message. Nothing new under the sun, amen? And but that was good preaching, good solid preaching, and very, very encouraging as well. I want to give you something tonight entitled Pray Without Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It'll be a little bit of a different message in that I'll give you some main points that I see from this verse at the end of the message. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I think you know what verse I'm going to. The verse that we're going to look at has gotten a hold of me in a very deep way, even though it's a very familiar verse. About 2 years ago, this verse just started to change my life, and it's been something to help me get through very difficult times in my life. It's a verse on prayer. It's changed the way that I think about prayer. It's changed the way that I approach prayer, and it's amazing how we can get so familiar with the verse that we don't even obey it anymore. And this, for me, has been one of those verses in time past. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let me confess to you tonight that sometimes prayer can be hard. Prayer is work, which is why it's oftentimes so hard to engage in it. And let me be a little bit transparent with you this evening. I don't always feel like praying. My flesh doesn't always want to pray. When I get up in the morning, there are times when it is hard to pray. Yet this verse is giving me a very clear command from my sovereign to pray without ceasing. And I've just come to the conclusion that I'm not the only one that that's true about. I believe that we are not where we need to be on prayer. I believe we need to double down on prayer. We must get much stronger in this thing, this privilege which is ours, which is to pray and to pray without ceasing. I believe it's something that has been grievously neglected in our lives. The old timers used to mention it this way, talk about it this way, being on praying ground. Always able to communicate with God because of your standing with Him. I wonder tonight how many of us stay on praying ground. Pray without ceasing. To be honest, we have to learn to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And I just feel like we've heard a lot of messages on prayer. I know this is one. We've heard a lot of lessons on prayer, a lot of books about prayer, but the Bible is telling us here, and the disciples, their requests, teach us to pray. We just need to get down to the business more than ever before.
Amen. Amen.
Of praying and praying without ceasing. When we are born into this world, what do we know how to do? We don't know how to do anything. And I have three daughters that we had first and then took a 10-year break. And then surprise, Ruth came along and we were very busy with planting a church in Chicago during those early years. And I'm seeing things in Ruth, the first things that she does that I don't remember seeing in my other girls. And it's fascinating, but she has to learn everything. Being born again, we have to learn everything. And one of those things we have to really learn is to pray. We need to learn to pray and to pray without ceasing. If you've never read George Mueller's diaries, I highly recommend you take some time to read the diary of a man who knew how to get a hold of God for the things that he needed.
Amen.
Things look bleak for the children of his orphanage at Ashley Downs in England. It was time for breakfast and there was no food. That's not a good thing at an orphanage. Yeah. And a small girl whose father was a close friend of Mueller's was there visiting the orphanage. And Mueller took this little girl by the hand and said, "Let's see what our father will do." And they went into the dining room, and the dining room was lined with long tables and chairs for the orphanage. And there were empty plates and empty mugs. The orphanage had no food. And not only that, there was no money in the home's account to buy any. And Mueller prayed, thanking God for food that wasn't even there. Wasn't even there. He said, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." Immediately there was a knock at the door. And there was a baker standing at the door saying, "Brother Mueller, I was impressed at 2 o'clock in the morning that you had not enough food to feed these orphans. And I crawled out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and I baked a bunch of bread. Here it is."
Amen.
And a little while later, there was another knock at the door. It was a milkman. "Brother Mueller, my milk cart has broken down right here in front of your orphanage, and I've got to unload all of this milk in order to repair it. Can you use it?" My friend, we have needs in our life.
That's right.
Serious needs all over this room. There are needs I don't know about, needs not even Pastor Almanza knows about, serious needs. You know what those needs are.
Yes.
We have such a privilege to lay those burdens at the feet of our Savior. We need to pray without ceasing. Let's ask God's blessing on this message and, and really get right into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message we already heard. I pray that you'll work now at this time. Lord, I pray that you'd take this simple verse, this familiar verse, and bring it home to us in a way that will allow us to obey it and see the blessings that come when we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some 415 times in the Bible, we are instructed to pray. In the context of this passage, a young church was in Thessalonica. Now, it amazes me as someone who was called of God to start a church that the Apostle Paul was only with these people for about a month before he moved on, and yet there was a church left there thriving that God was blessing. But the church at Thessalonica was under heavy persecution. Paul experienced some hardship there when he was there for that brief time, and then he left. But he knew that he was leaving these people in a very vulnerable state. And so he wanted to encourage them about their trials. He wanted to encourage them about the blessed hope, the second coming. And then at the end of the book, he gives some commands. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to prayer. Some 25 times in his epistles, he commands people to pray under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pray. Pray. It was nice just to take a little walk today, getting out of the concrete jungle. And I do some of my best praying when I'm just walking along, maybe walking the dog down the road. And what the Bible says we need more than anything else, more than YouTube, more than Facebook, more than Instagram, we need to pray. 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 God wants his people to pray. And God answers prayers. I was just meditating on the message earlier today and trying to recount the blessings that have come over the years that were the direct result of prayer. And count your many blessings, name them one by one. It's impossible to do it. He wants to answer our prayers, and I want it.
Amen.
I want it. I get things from God. My bank account's not very full, but his bank account is endless. By way of context, we understand more about why this church needed prayer. They were under heavy, heavy persecution. We need to double down on prayer. We're coming into desperate times. For Christians who will stand. COVID was just a little foretaste. It weeded out those who weren't serious for God. An independent Baptist churches today are collapsing like a house of cards, and the devil would destroy you today if he could.
That's right.
And he would destroy me today if he could. And oh, how we need this privilege of prayer. Prayer in the early church was first, not second. I guess what I'm saying is we need to find more ways to pray. We need to find more times to pray. He shouldn't have to organize a prayer meeting for groups of believers to come together with a burden on their heart and to pray. I'm talking about a desperation to be in God's presence tonight.
Amen.
I'm talking about spontaneous prayer meetings where believers just get together and pray. Not talk about prayer, but pray. Oh, how the Lord answers prayer. More prayer is needed for our soul-winning efforts. We need to bathe these efforts in prayer. Beautiful door hangers that Pastor showed me that your church has had printed. Oh, how we need to bathe these efforts in prayer. Look what God's already done in answer to prayer. What else does he want to do?
That's good.
Five young college students were spending a day in London. They had heard about the famous Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. And they wanted to visit his church. They had heard about his fame. They wanted to hear him preach. And while they were waiting for the doors to open, they were greeted by a man who said, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of the church?" And it was a hot July day. and they weren't really interested in seeing the heating plant of the church, but they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway. A door was opened. They were underneath the auditorium. And underneath the auditorium, before them, there were 700 people down on their knees praying for the service that was about to take place upstairs. Softly closing the door, the man said, "This is the heating plant." And then he introduced himself to those college students. He was none other than C.H. Spurgeon. "My friend, where's your heating plant? Is there one in your house?
Amen. Come on.
Is there one for your family?"
Come on.
We need to pray without ceasing. We have the same needs as these people that we read about in Christian history. I could argue our needs are even greater in some respect as apostasy gets stronger and stronger. We need to pray. I'm challenging you to turn off the cell phone and really pray.
Amen.
18-year-old Hudson Taylor wandered into his father's library and was reading a gospel tract, and he couldn't shake off the message. And finally, he fell to his knees and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And later, his mother, who had been away, returned home. And he was waiting for his mother because he wanted to tell her the good news. "Mama, I got saved." And 10 days ago, to the very date, his mother said, "I was praying for you on that day to come to the Lord Jesus Christ." And God brought assurance to my soul that day that you got saved, that you were about to be brought into the fold. Oh, how many unsaved loved ones are represented in this room right now that would fall slain to the Son of God if they had a prayer warrior interceding on their behalf. We don't take prayer as serious as we should. You see, that's a blanket statement. Friend, I don't care how much you prayed today, you need more.
Yeah.
I wonder if we were to take a raise of hands, we will not. Of how many Christians, born-again believers in this room, prayed for 20 minutes today. I wonder how many could raise their hand, and if all we prayed is 20 minutes, shame on us. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says.
Right.
We should notice that this is a command, not just a suggested request. I am commanded to pray without ceasing. So, brother, I've got to figure out a way to do that. I've got to find out what that means.
Amen.
And get busy about it, because I am commanded to pray without ceasing. Early African converts to Christianity were very earnest and regular in their private devotions. And reportedly, each one had a separate spot in the thicket where they would pour out their heart to God. And over time, those paths to their prayer place in the thicket became well-worn. And it became very easy to tell if one of those brothers were neglecting their prayers, because the grass would grow. And soon they would confront their brothers in Christ and say, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." I wonder how many of us it could be said about that. The grass grows on your path. I believe the verse is a challenge about our attitude of prayer. To pray without ceasing. My attitude towards prayer should be, I'm always ready. I'm always on praying ground. I'm always ready to commune with God. Now listen, I'm asking for more tonight on the authority of the Word of God than praying before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Praying over your meal. I'm calling you to a fundamental change in the way we pray.
Amen.
Do you know what it's like to be driven to your knees because of a great need? I believe these Christians at Thessalonica knew that. The Apostle Paul encouraged them to continue. One man said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." That was Abraham Lincoln. I'm talking about allowing God to consume us on the altar of prayer. I'm talking about us getting with God for man that we might better get with man for God. From a mechanical prayer life to a miraculous prayer life.
Amen.
Understanding that there's a battle that's raging, that there's a spiritual warfare going on about which we must pray. To not feel like we're only in prayer mode when the preacher says, bow your heads and close your eyes. To guard our families and to guard our churches. We had a huge fight against the city of Chicago. I won't go all into it, except to say, lights out. Lights out. You say, what do you mean? Lori Lightfoot is on her way out this month as mayor of Chicago. Lights out. Sodomite mayor.
Yeah.
Who during COVID picked our church out and a couple of others that were meeting against her orders and the governor's orders and said she would confiscate our building and bulldoze it if we continued to meet. Oh, how we prayed. And oh, how God gave us the victory.
Amen.
She's on her way out and God has blessed our church mightily. We need to pray. Midweek prayer meetings in many places are just preaching services with 4 minutes of prayer tacked on the other side. That's not a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Praying before you eat is good, but that's not a prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. The great reformer Martin Luther said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. He also said, I've got so much to do today that I must spend the first 3 hours in prayer. We turn that around. We say, I've got so much to do today, I don't have time to pray. We wonder why we're weak in the battle. How about to pray without ceasing to guard our minds?
Amen.
These diabolical minds that are naturally opposed to God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This mind is depraved if left to itself.
That's right.
And what we have to aid us in that is to pray without ceasing. To believe that someone is listening. I'm talking about an area of your life tonight that no one else knows about really, but you and God. I think of Moses. God said, let me just destroy the children of Israel and start all over with you, Moses. And Moses prayed. And his prayer, don't miss this, changed the course of history. His prayer. That's the amazing thing about prayer. The Bible says continuing in prayer. Colossians 4:2, scripture says continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Not your feelings. Your feelings are up and down.
Yeah.
Man, I get up in the morning and sometimes I'm ready to pray. And I go throughout my day and sometimes I'm not ready to pray. And I've got to say no to my feelings. And pray without ceasing and not doubt God's ability to answer those prayers. Praying things through. Man, you've got a wayward child. Praying it through. You've got someone that needs to be saved. Praying it through. You've got a financial hiccup, a physical problem. God will give you grace. He'll give you help. He'll give you strength. It's available. Don't doubt God's ability to answer your prayer.
Amen.
While very sick, John Knox called to his wife and said, read me the scripture where I first cast my anchor. And she turned to John 17 and read the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. And this man that was on his deathbed seemed to forget his weakness. He started praying for persecuted Christians and new converts to the faith. He started praying. And this man of whom Queen Mary said, I fear his prayers more than I fear the armies of my enemies, slipped away praying for others. Pray without ceasing. Go with me to James chapter 5, if you would.
That's good.
James chapter 5. verse number 16. James chapter 5, verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In that verse, effectual and fervent are from one Greek word, energeo. We get energy. Energy produces heat. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whenever I read that English word fervent in the Bible, I think about that which produces heat. Energeo, energy. And I think about a time when my wife was making homemade caramel on the stove right around the time we had just started the church. And she was making homemade caramel, and I don't know what we were going to do with it, but I walked past the stove. The fire had been turned off. And I walked past the stove, and I looked at that pot and said, "It's caramel." So I took my finger, and I stuck it like an idiot, like a total idiot. I stuck my finger into that caramel. The fire had just been turned off not that long ago, and I pulled it out. Ah! It was hot. Instinctively, are your prayers hot? Is there some energy in your prayers? The effectual, fervent Amen. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I want to see God do some things in the lives of Amen. My children.
Amen.
I've got some specific prayer requests. I want to see God do some more things in our church.
Amen.
We live in a very rough city, the city of Chicago, where we're famous for all the wrong things. And what you hear and read about and all of that stuff about Chicago, it's true. I was sitting in the restaurant a couple weeks ago with a guest speaker. And right outside of our window in the restaurant, a man took a hammer and started attacking some people that were just visiting the city. They were there to visit their grandparents. They were total strangers to this man. And he went loony with a hammer and just started attacking them. And a poor little girl just ran in with her mouth all busted up. That's the city that God called us to start a church in. And I want to see him do some more things.
Yeah.
If I took you to that church tonight, you'd see people that were once homosexuals that are now serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd see people that were drunkards, one in particular that was spending $1,200 a month on alcohol, and God saved them the first time he heard the gospel. And he's a faithful servant in our church. But I'm thirsty to see God do some more. We must pray.
That's right.
God's not done here. This is just the start. You're going to need more space. You're going to need to do something. God's not done, but it'll be in response to a people who will pray without ceasing. I love prayer, and he loves to answer prayer. That's a good deal, isn't it? I love to pray. He loves to answer prayer. We can get things from God. No prayer, no power. Some prayer, some power. Much prayer, much power. Pray without ceasing. And again, I say, I don't care how much you have prayed today, you need more. There needs to be something within us, and the best word I can think of is a desperation to be with God. Not a, I checked my box, I prayed, I read my Bible.
Come on, preacher.
A desperation to be with God, a longing, a needing to be with him. And when we think about all that Jesus went through to give us access, to give us access to that throne, all of the shame. Christians are to pray continually. Now, we can't bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands without ceasing. Those are just postures to prayer, not prayer itself. Prayer is communication with God. And the Bible is literally saying that we are to live each minute of that day in constant awareness of God. Flowing conversation with God, always ready to communicate with our sovereign. This is significant, okay? There is much value in that closet time when we close the world out and get down and pray, but then we've got to go to work, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Then we've got to go raise our kids. Then we've got to go actually do the work of the ministry, whatever it is that's before us. But the Bible is saying here that there's value also in that every moment of the day fellowship with God.
Yeah.
And my friend, it is sweet.
Amen.
And we're called to it. We're commanded to it. And so let me give you some very valuable and practical implications from this verse. Number one, the use of the voice is not an essential element in prayer. The use of the voice. Now, there are times when we ought to use our voice. But nobody heard me praying on that airplane that it would get up and come down safely. But I guarantee you I was praying without using my voice.
Yeah.
Number two, the posture of prayer is not of primary importance. There's times when, again, I believe that you ought to be driven to your knees because of the need.
Yeah.
But the posture is not of primary importance. What's important is that we pray without ceasing.
Amen.
And you can do that with or without the posture. Third, the place of prayer is not of great importance. Anywhere. Ladies, while you're doing your dishes, why can't you be praying? Men, as you're working at the shop, on the machinery, as you're driving, doing whatever, why can't you be praying more? Why can't you turn off the stupid television, the stupid radio, and pray more?
Amen.
Fourth, the particular time of the day is not important, for we're to pray without ceasing. Now, there's a lot of good when we're called to pray at a prayer meeting, but don't look to the watch to tell you when to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray without ceasing. And then number five, a Christian should never be in a place where he could not pray.
Amen.
Praying ground, always spiritually in a place where you can pray. Pastor Almanza knows the last time that I remember being out this way, my daughter Lois was very sick and in the hospital. And she'll be 16 here soon, but it was a response to COVID. It wasn't COVID, it was the antibodies that were there because of COVID started shutting her organs down. She spent 14 days in the hospital. And the first 7 days, the doctor said to my wife, who was the only one allowed to be there, we're throwing everything we can at her, and she's deteriorating. Down, 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 down. And I'm out here preaching. And when I caught wind that she was deteriorating and the doctors made that comment, we're doing everything we can, I was in a hotel room. And I've never prayed the way that I prayed. And I'm ashamed of that, actually, because I should be praying like that more. But oh, God, spare my baby girl. And God brought her through. Because of everything that Jesus went through on that cross, I can come boldly to the throne of grace and I can get things from God. So can you. Pray without ceasing, Pastor.